Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented as Season 2, Season 3, and Season 4, where we are in Season 5 now, and it is presented by Hooters. And Hooters, of course, has hosted a number of draft parties for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast this year, specific to the Tampa Bay area and the original Hooters brand. They were not hosting any draft parties, so we followed their lead. And we have not made any podcast appearances at any of the 11 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Hopefully things will continue to improve and we will be invited for a podcast event at some point like we did at the end of last regular season. But Hooters is a terrific partner of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and I thank them for their consistent presenting sponsorship for the last 4 years. Also, a shout out to Bill Curry Ford, which picked up the ball a little where Hooters left off by hosting our one podcast league for this year on the showroom floor and with Big Storm Coffee with catering from Hooters and Papa John's of Tampa Bay. And Sean Sullivan, who plays in my podcast leagues, that's the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, also throwing out a $1,000 bounty for the champion of the podcast league, turning it into Win Bill Curry's Money, my spinoff of Win Ben Stein's Money, a game show where Jimmy Kimmel was actually the sidekick. So thanks to both of them. Thanks to you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I believe this is already episode 22 of season 5. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Those of you who listen to the podcast, I take care of you exclusively now because you know the keywords to get me to respond to your emails, whether it's just asking an opinion on a player, a second opinion on a player, whether he's in your starting lineup, a matchup, rostering, trade, or otherwise. We're probably getting to that point now where you're considering making a trade or other owners are making more legitimate trade offers to you, or at least opening a dialogue. I'm always open to give you a second opinion there. I owe Craig D, a loyal listener, an apology. Craig D did send me an email last Saturday, and he was asking a very well-constructed fantasy email, and I was hosting Todd Wright Tour XXVII. I was up at 4:30 in the morning Eastern Time on Saturday to host over 130 people at West Chase Golf Club. The event went really, really well. That's why I encourage you to follow me on social media where I promote my golf tournaments, my podcast, my webcast, What Are the Odds, my television appearances, my radio appearances on VEASAN. It really did go well. The one thing that got lost that day, because I had a lot of people I was hosting and a lot of work to do, and I came home and I had a quick bite to eat and kind of collapsed, was I didn't get back to Craig D as promised before I went to bed on Saturday night, and then didn't make time for him on Sunday as I was working on my own leagues and actually doing some post-tournament work. So Craig D, I apologize. You followed all the rules. You had the keyword. Your question and your comment was terrific, and I blew it. So I apologize to you via email. I'm apologizing to you here. So what I said to Craig D was, you get to pick the keyword for week 5. So he picked an interesting one. He picked an acronym. He picked YAK. So however you want to spell it, you can spell it the way we would spell it for football purposes, YAC, or you can spell it how it sounds. You can throw a K in there if you want. But yak, picked by Craig D, because I owe him one, is the keyword for week five. If you would like to ask me a second opinion on something fantasy football related for the rest of this week, make sure yak, spelled any way you want. The literal translation, of course, is yards after catch. Make sure it's in the subject line of your email or up top in your email as picked by Craig D. And Craig D, I will make it up to you. All right. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Week two, I talked here and on Gil Alexander's show. I'll be returning to Gil Alexander's show. He had so much to cover on Friday. Honestly, I mean, we hate to hear this, but I understood. With the Preakness and the NBA and NBA Finals, he had so much going on. He just didn't have room for fantasy football on Friday. He had baseball playoffs as well. So Gil actually apologized to me, which he doesn't have to do. It's his show. I'm a guest on his show on VSiN. So I think we're back on for this Friday. I'm thinking at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on the Vegas Stats and Information Network on a numbers game with Gil Alexander. After week two, I talked about how much the rushing point production of quarterbacks was increasing in fantasy football. And even compared rushing touchdowns of the top quarterbacks in quantity to the rushing touchdowns of the top running backs. It was almost equal. Week three, so we talked about the quarterback position in week two and where it was. Week three, I remember telling you as I was sitting on my couch near the end of the early afternoon games, traditionally called the 1 o'clock games on the East Coast, and how I looked at the running back production from a fantasy standpoint in those early afternoon games on Sunday, and I saw very little RB1 and RB2. It was undrafted free agents, waiver claims, guys you drafted to be on your bench that produced in week three. Week four, let's focus on the wide receiver position a little bit. This has hit me hard in one of my leagues in particular, because I'm not getting what I thought I drafted in terms of the touches and overall production from my top wide receivers. When you think about the top wide receivers in fantasy football, in no particular order, I'm going to throw out Thomas, Adams, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones. I think that's a pretty fair five. If you want to argue somebody else in and take one of them out, go right ahead. So just of those five, and we're only 4 weeks in, Jones has been hurt. Thomas has been hurt. Adams has been hurt. Tyreek Hill, the touches aren't great. The touchdowns are. So you've gotten your investment there. And Hopkins, of course, even with a down game and a half, Hopkins still is where you want him to be in terms of his role in the Arizona Cardinal offense. There are wide receiver ones and wide receiver twos that are producing, but you can look at a number of wide receivers that you drafted to be starters who are giving you pause to keep playing them because they are not touching the ball as much as you wanted, and you're wondering about their role in their particular offense. Both Buccaneers wide receivers, Godwin and Evans, and both like Thomas, like Adams, like Jones, have been hurt. You're not getting the production out of them. Evans has saved that for you the last couple of weeks by being Tom Brady's guy in the red zone, because Bruce Arians wants Tom Brady to call his number and use that wingspan, that body at the goal line, but what else is really working right now? So, and at the beginning, it was the hamstring, right, with Evans. And then very early in the Charger game, he twisted his ankle and he played through it, to his credit. But they haven't been giving you the production you wanted. A Marvin Jones, I even talked about after one of my drafts, did I make a mistake with one player and should I have drafted Marvin Jones? And I said yes at first, and then I backed off and said, no, I feel good about what I did. Marvin Jones, even with Kenny Golladay out, wasn't getting the touches, wasn't getting the red zone touches, wasn't getting overall touches, despite the game flow in some of these Lions games. Michael Gallup, interesting one. That Gallup is considered the downfield threat for the Cowboys, but you look just at the recent game against the Browns. It was Cooper downfield. It was CeeDee Lamb downfield. We talk about touchdown-dependent tight ends near the goal line and how you can't count on them. That it's just not something that's sustainable. Gallup getting you enough points out of the few touches he is getting on these downfield throws, it's not enough. AJ Green, we mentioned this, and I've gotten some emails about this in the last week or two. If you did make an investment in AJ Green, probably not as a wide receiver one, but maybe as a wide receiver two, thinking Joe Burrow would get AJ Green going again. It's not. AJ Green's average yards per route going into last week were down around 1/100 of all wide receivers. Scary how bad it was. And he's 63rd in the NFL going into week 5 and wide receivers touching the ball. The sight test the last couple weeks on the Bengals says Burrow's going to feed Boyd and Higgins and not AJ Green. Even with the Browns' offensive explosion, the latest one against the Dallas Cowboys, Jarvis Landry has touched the ball 17 times. Now, he's thrown a touchdown pass. That's a nice bonus 4 points. But does that give you enough if you drafted him to be a wide receiver 2/3, covering for the fact that he's only had 17 touches and he's had 19 targets? So he continues to make the most of his work, but Cleveland leads the NFL in rushing. And from a passing standpoint, it hasn't been there. And even with that explosion against the Cowboys, Landry's touches are something that doesn't give you enough in return for your draft investment. So just wanted to focus a little bit on the wide receiver position, because I'm a victim of that in one of my leagues as well, that the wide receivers I drafted haven't worked out. Most notably, my wide receiver one that fell to me in the 3rd round in Julio Jones went out and tried to play in the Monday night game against the Packers, likely reverse game flow. You think that was going to benefit him. Then the extra benefit of Gage and then Ridley not being able to play. And then Jones doesn't come out for the second half. So that production has not been there. I do want to make mention of one other player that many of you may have drafted. We're getting to that point now after a month. I often say after the first 2 weeks is when you can start playing with your lineups. I think you start your draft board as you pick them the first 2 games. Then you start making some changes week 3. Week 4 now, and this is independent of COVID changes, bye weeks and matchups and other things. You're starting to make some real decisions on guys you drafted maybe in the top half of the draft who aren't worth the roster spot. And I know it's tough. Some of you already bit that bullet on T.Y. Hilton. You did it last week. I received some emails about how some of you just cut him. There were two sides on this. One side said, nah, Hilton was a few drops away from he would have had this in terms of his production. And then there were others who said, yeah, it doesn't look the part at this point. Maybe not as bad as AJ Green, but he may not be worth your roster spot and certainly not worth being in your starting lineup. Let's focus in on Mark Ingram as it relates to that. I remember in one of my drafts, I was sitting there and Mark Ingram, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, based on 2,000 other mock drafts that were done in the previous 96 hours before I drafted, Mark Ingram was the highest value running back on the board. And I already had starting running back, so I would have drafted him as an RB3. And I thought about the Ravens' prolific offense and how they want to run the ball. And I just said, you know what? It's not that J.K. Dobbins scares me. I'm not drafting him. I just don't know what Ingram's role is in this offense going forward because it seemed to drop off at the end of last year. Ingram has 34 rushes, and that's 36th in the NFL in rushing attempts when you even factor in the quarterbacks. That means 35 other players in the NFL have more rushing attempts than Mark Ingram, and it's trending in the wrong direction. I believe Gus Edwards has more rushing attempts than Ingram the last couple of weeks. It's not even like Ingram is victimized by J.K. Dobbins. Lamar Jackson, as a comparison, has 39. Granted, he just got, his first rushing touchdown in the most recent game in week 4. So it's tough, whether it's on a T.Y. Hilton or a Mark Ingram, when you basically are staring at a guy saying, well, I don't want to cut him, but if you're not playing him, you know, I quote Billy Beane a lot. He used to come on my ESPN show regularly, and I'm a big fan of Moneyball. Billy Beane often said, you know, if someone players help you in two different ways. They either help you, I'm paraphrasing here, tangibly by what they do for you, or they help you by what you can get for them. If you can get something for a T.Y. Hilton right now, if you can get something for Mark Ingram right now, might be the time to do it. Because even though their teams are doing very well, the Colts with the best defense in the NFL and the Ravens, granted they lost the Chiefs, but the Ravens looked the part and are the favorites in the AFC North and the second favorite to win the Super Bowl, according to Jay Cornegay at the Westgate Superbook. Ingram's role doesn't seem very well defined, and you're not getting the touches that you want. All right, that'll be it for this podcast. I just wanted to get a podcast out to you and get it posted. I look forward to your emails. Remember to include the keyword YAC. You can spell it YAC or however you want. Chosen by Craig D., one of the podcast listeners, but have that in the subject line of your email or early in your email this week. That way I know you are a podcast listener, and I will offer you a second opinion and personally answer your email at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2020. Same with Twitter, ToddWright2020. Or you may send me a friend request on Facebook. I am simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. One page fits all. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.